The secret to well-being is discovering the power that is your birthright, the power to create a happier, healthier life drawn from our own vast internal resources. Join Jules and her guests as they gently guide you to shift your perspective from the familiar negative to the divinely connected, a place that will not only positively impact your world, but possibly shift the planet. It's all right here on Law of Attraction Talk Radio.
Well, welcome to Law of Attraction Talk Radio. I'm Jules from beautiful Southern California. Hey, did you ever get the feeling, even though you thought you were living the perfect life, you know, that big house, fancy car, great business, married to a successful husband, and you have great kids, that you're just going through the motions and not really happy? I know, it's hard to believe that would happen, especially because so many of us have set that as our intention, right? But what if you reached the peak and thought, hey, wait a minute, this is what happiness is supposed to be? I'm not feeling it. Well, tonight we're going to be talking with the author of The Real Brass Ring, Diane Bishop James, about her Law of Attraction story. She had it all, but something went terribly wrong. It's a great book and great story, so I want you to sit back, relax, kick your feet up, and tune in that brain of yours to remember some new things. It's right here on Law of Attraction Talk Radio. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Law of Attraction Radio Network, enhancing the well-being of millions of listeners worldwide. LOARadionetwork.com is heard through 25 different internet radio stations, as well as iTunes Radio, Stitcher.com, and our mobile apps. The Law of Attraction Radio Network, your trusted source of daily inspiration at LOARadionetwork.com.
Law of Attraction Radio Network is pleased to present you with the Ultimate Law of Attraction event on April 11th, 12th and 13th in the year 2014. This three-day weekend in beautiful Palm Springs, California is all about getting you to remember the power that you were born with, but forgot simply because we thought we had to conform to society's demands. When we forgot our power, we forgot that we could create anything in this world through the energy that surrounds us. We can finally throw off those self-imposed shackles once and for all by easily reconnecting to our power of creation. Join John Assaroff, Laura Langmire, William Whitecloud, and all of the Law of Attraction Radio Network stars like G.P. Walsh, Constance Arnold, Marbeth Dunn, Dr. J, Jim Alvino, Bertrand Dorey, Risha Baker, R.J. Banks, and me, Jules. Let freedom reign in your life starting this April at the Palm Springs Convention Center. For more information, go to loaevent.com. And remember, the power is yours. Go to loaevent.com. And we are back with Law of Attraction Talk Radio with Jules. Well, last week I gave some free tickets to our event out, and you could be next. Remember, each ticket is for the entire weekend, and they are $125 each. So come on, what are you waiting for? As a matter of fact, if you listen to all of our wonderful shows on Law of Attraction Radio Network, you're going to notice that all of our hosts are giving away two free tickets to their listeners as well. This is our thanks to you for being such loyal listeners. So send me your name, email address, and zip code, and I will send you the tickets from Ticket Leap immediately. This is just too much fun. I'm having a great time. Now, one of the ways you can listen to our shows or my on-demand show is through Stitcher.com. 3 years ago when I started Law of Attraction Radio Network on Stitcher.com, they had only three car models that had it in their brand new internet dashboards, like BMW, the Mini Cooper, and there was another one, I can't even remember it. Today, there are 60 different model cars with internet dashboards, including Ford, Range Rover, and even Jaguar. Chevrolet just announced that they are putting these internet dashboards into all of their 2015 models. What this means is that soon you will be hearing all of our shows through your car stereos all over the world. So make sure when you buy a new car this year that you buy one with the internet dashboard so you can hear us loud and clear. In the meantime, you can still grab our Law of Attraction radio app on iTunes or Google Play or even Stitcher if you want to listen to it through your smartphone. And again, you can just come to loaradionetwork.com and listen to all of our individual show pages that have all of our shows on demand. No matter where you are in the world, Law of Attraction Radio Network is right there with you, keeping you inspired. Now let's chat with Diane Bischoff James, an actor, author, and entrepreneur who helps others recognize and connect with their own personal power and potential. She is a dynamic motivational speaker, charismatic broadcast personality, acclaimed performer and voiceover artist who encourages audiences to create a reality that is prosperous, deliberate, and meaningful. Diane writes, "I was a prisoner of promise. I bought that fairy tale and the lies about the American dream. I fell for the whole thing. The stories of educated women who break glass ceilings during the day and come home at night to a prince in a giant mansion on the lake filled with joyous children and 60-inch flat-screen TVs." Oh, yes, how many of us have set that to be our intention? She continues, "I created that fantasy and then crashed it to the ground. I didn't do it because I wanted to. I did it because on the inside, I was completely miserable. Rebuilding it piece by painful piece and leaving no stone unturned, I risked everything to do what I came here to do." Oh, yes, you are going to love this show tonight. Welcome, Diane, to Love Attraction Talk Radio.
Oh, thank you so much, Jules. I am absolutely delighted to be here.
I think your book, The Real Brass Ring, is phenomenal and something that so many people right now need to read. It is very, very powerful in moving a person forward who is experiencing traumatic events in their life and moving them forward in a positive manner to keep them on track, step by step. I think this is a great little book to really motivate people to get going.
Oh, great. Thank you. It was a feet on the street kind of experience for me, and very excited to have made it through to really accomplishing many things that I truly love.
Yeah. Well, let's give a little bit of a background about you and what made you really start focusing on writing this book.
Well, actually, my transformation started around the age of 38, and I had a psychic encounter. Actually, I went to see an absolutely fabulous woman, Sonia Choquette, on my birthday. It was my 38th birthday, and I went in to go see her really just kind of for fun. I had been referred to her, and I had no idea what to expect, and I had a really earth-shattering hour. She, for 1 hour, pretty much and told me rather literally and figuratively that everything I had been doing was wrong. And I walked out of our session, expecting to have been happy and delighted and jumping for joy, and I literally sat in my car on a freezing cold February afternoon, and I cried for almost 30 minutes before I could drive off because I didn't know what to do. She basically told me my relationship was a sham, that my work was not the correct work that I should be doing, that I was this creative artist and a healer and a writer, and I had done none of it, absolutely none of it. I also had a family and children, and I had a business that I had created, and pretty much she said, "You're on the wrong. You're going down the wrong road." And I called it the brass ring. She said that there was this brass ring coming by, and if I didn't grab it soon, it was going to be too late. So part of me was terrified. Part of me was sad. Part of me was just mortified that I had made so many mistakes, and I didn't even know that I'd been making them. And so pretty much that's how my journey started, and that day changed my life.
Well, were you miserable at that point? Were you unhappy? Were you feeling like you were lacking something in your life?
Well, to be honest with you, it felt a little bit like I was following a program. Mm. I felt like I had been given orders, get a good job, get a huge education, keep getting as many possessions as possible, get the big house, kind of like being the Kardashians in a way.
Yeah.
And have kids and have lots of kids and take them to every activity that you can and work till you drop and keep going for the next, the cool million. And so I tried to do that. I had the big house across from the lake. I had a mini mansion. I had the children. I had the husband. I had the degree. I have a master's of science from Northwestern in marketing. Mm-hmm. And so I did what I was supposed to do. I followed the instructions that I had had early on from my parents about what it meant to be successful. But on the inside, I was absolutely completely miserable. So on the outside, I was being a good soldier. And on the inside, I was depressed. I was taking Prozac. I couldn't understand why I always wanted to cry. I covered everything up, and I was the perfect stuffer. I stuffed everything. I stuffed my feelings. I stuffed my reactions. I stuffed my emotions. I also stuffed my face. So I was also hugely overweight. I was basically the size of a male prize fighter, probably like 185, 190 pounds. So I was also a very big girl. And all of it were signs that I couldn't read, signs that nothing was actually right, but I thought I was doing it right at the time.
Yeah, consciously you knew that you were doing everything right, but subconsciously your body and everything about it was telling you something's really wrong here because of your depression. Yeah.
Exactly.
Interesting. So you took her advice or her little talk with you to heart, and you sat down there and cried. So what was the first step you took in realizing that you had to change or coming to grips with it all?
Well, part of what made my journey particularly challenging is that she said I had to redo everything at a macro level. And I think it was overwhelming at first. I didn't know what to do. It's hard for someone to say, you don't have the right career, you don't have the right partner, you don't have the right house, you don't have the right passion, you haven't done anything that is fulfilling. And it's hard to start over when the list is so big. So I was a little overwhelmed at first, but she did give me a list of books. And so I am the eternal student of the law of attraction, the eternal student of metaphysics. I love everything about it. And so she told me to read about 10 books, even though I'd already read about 100. And I grabbed every one of the books, and like a good soldier, once again, I went out and I tried to, absorb the education from her books and tried to figure out how I could make a change. I knew I had to. I didn't know exactly how, but I took a very, very small step at the beginning. And I also tried to really get in touch with one of my main four founding fathers of Law of Attraction, Abraham Hicks,
yeah.
And I went to their seminar, and I think that was also one of the first steps where I had the light shining and the from above, in that I heard that my feelings were valid and that I had to do different things to respect my body and to respect my emotions and to respect my my full self instead of just being a good soldier. And I think that just even absorbing their first words just resonated with me in every cell of my body. I knew that they were onto something and I had to know more. So I became the student of Law of Attraction, and it took me a lot of years, but I think I've done a pretty good job of absorbing it into my life.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful. Yes, Abraham Hicks does have that effect on people. I mean, you go to one of their seminars and the energy in that place just sort of grabs you, and it's like so uplifting. Even if Abraham Hicks didn't say anything, I believe it's the high energy that they are projecting out into everybody, it's just filling them up. It's just wonderful, wonderful energy.
I just love it. And they showed me that I had really stinking thinking. And I think that's the part that I got from my first session with them, is that most of my thoughts had been negative. Most of my thoughts had been pretty much destructive. Most of them were about how to be afraid before you walk out of the door instead of confident. It was how to run everything from fear, blame, and shame instead of from pure love or essence or joy. And so for me, I was pretty much at the far end of the negative stick, and I had to really work my way up and kind of crawl my way up to the positive end of the manifestation stick.
And that's really important, because you really bring out in your book that fear was the anchor of your life, and the fear of failure and fear of being alone and everything. What was one of the techniques that you used to really loosen up that fear from your life?
Well, I would say I recognize that for me, fear in many ways had come in the form of procrastination, actually. And what I found is that I had always loved acting, theater, dance, singing, anything in the creative arts. But I had been told messages as a child that was a terrible career and that I wasn't allowed to pursue it. And so I shut it down. And so one of the things I was terrified to do is to do anything in the creative arts, because that would mean I'd have to be exposed, whether I was, heavy or thin. I would still have to be exposed for who I really was, and I was very, very much afraid to do it. So one of the things that I did to take my first step is I use a lot of imagery and work with the mind's eye. And so I often, and I still tell myself now, when I use procrastination instead of moving forward and just taking that first step towards anything, I tell myself to straighten out my boots and to face, in my mind's eye, confront anything that I'm afraid of, whether it be a phone call to someone where you have to collect a bill, or whether it be making that brand new phone call where you have to say, hey, do you want some of my work, or whether it be calling an agent in the acting field in Chicago, which was terrifying considering I had no experience. I knew I was probably somewhat talented, but I had had no experience, no resume, and no background, and I was going to just find a way to work my way in. So I would kind of straighten my boots out, and I would say, what is the first step I need to do to overcome this fear, this procrastination? And I call it a baby step. And whatever that first step would be, sit down at the computer and write your first introduction letter. And I would kind of force myself, put a little timer on, and say, for the next 15 minutes, you have to do this activity. And I would just face my computer and write it, and without being tied to the consequence. If it wasn't the perfect letter, if it wasn't the perfect message, I would do it anyway, because I really knew that if I took that first step, I could come back to it the next day and refine it, clean it up. But it was about the baby steps that made all these changes happen, and the changes were pretty big. They're pretty big mountains to climb, but I knew if I took the first step, that the next day I would have the confidence to take the second step. So those are some of the techniques that I used.
Oh, that's a great one. So you're actually visualizing you taking the baby steps and then putting action with it.
Absolutely. And I also would practice with the outcomes. I would imagine swing back and forth between the outcomes, because I think the fear-based outcome would be, I'll be rejected. Mm-hmm. But the positive outcome, which is spectacular, is they're going to say, absolutely, yes, you're perfect. I'll take you immediately. So I used to let the outcomes in my mind's eye kind of swing back and forth, almost like a pendulum. And after a while, what it does is it broke down the fear base, and I realized the positive outcome was just as likely as a negative outcome, and then I would be able to sit a little bit more on the positive side longer once I was able to sit there and imagine them welcome me with open arms, even though I didn't have a background in it. I could make that phone call or do the scary task because I believe that the outcome would be positive, and I would have to say 9 out of 10 times it is positive.
Isn't that
wonderful? Really, it's our negative precepts, I think, that hold us back, when the truth is almost everybody is more than happy and willing and receptive.
You know, it's true, though, that we have got to see the outcome that we want, not the outcome that we're that's based in fear. So that's really the key to everything, is to get that hope, get that, you know, merging on up from hope into belief. And that in itself will imprint or embed that desire onto this energy field.
Absolutely, because we are actually manifesting everything from the core, and it's the core within us. So the positive outcome is already there, and it's already been given us a yes. I just, unfortunately, I think we've been trained that the outcome could be no or will be no, when I think that the essential truth is the outcome's already yes. And if it's not today, I always look at it as a detour. If for any reason someone does say no, I don't even hear the word. I just hear, oh, that's a little obstacle. That's a detour. Perhaps I need to try another angle, another tactic. So I've become very skilled at looking everything as just a slight detour, a slight turn. And I prefer now, I used to always think you had to come in the front door. Now I just come in the window. It's my favorite way to accomplish these big goals, because most of the time I don't know what's going to happen, but I figure if I just keep asking and I keep expecting a yes, I'm going to get a yes.
Absolutely.
And that's exactly what's happened, so I'm very fortunate.
So you are a big proponent of listening to your inner guidance systems, and you've mentioned a few times about the danger signals that you felt in your life that you started listening to keep you directed going in the change of path that you wanted.
Absolutely.
Talk about that a little bit.
I actually, even to myself, I call it my radar detector.
Mm.
And I believe that we all have such strong guidance signals. Our radar detectors are going off all the time. And this could be in any circumstance, whether you're having a relationship with a friend or you're having a relationship with someone, and they say things that sometimes make you feel uncomfortable, or say things or say, let's do this or let's do that, and you really don't agree with it. What I used to do in the past is I used to stuff every feeling I had, whether someone would either make a positive maybe a negative comment or a shameful remark. I would just try to stuff it and pretend it didn't happen and move on. Now I actually pay attention to the radar detector, and I do consider them to be almost danger signs. If anything doesn't resonate, especially when I was single and I was dating, if anything went off at all as a danger sign, I really considered a neon light across my head, and that light would start blinking, and I would know that I would have to very positively and very sweetly say no. Thank you so much for the opportunity. This isn't right for me. And I started practicing saying those words all the time, and in almost every situation when something doesn't work out, I'll say, I'm just really sorry. That's just not right for me.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny how open and receptive people are to that.
Mm.
If you'll say, no, I'm sorry, I can't attend that event. It's just not right for me today. I have another opportunity, or I have to spend time with my kids. Almost everyone gives you a head nod. And I used to always be able to, I used to be afraid to say no. I felt like saying no was something bad or something shameful. I thought I had to go to everything and participate in everything. And so it took a lot of courage to say, no, I'm sorry, that's not right for me, whether it be with my kid's school or whether it be with a charity event or whether it be, you know, going out on a date or even just attending a function or being with people I didn't feel were right for me long term. And that's quite a challenge. Sometimes you have to clean out the house and kind of pare back a little bit and say, this relationship makes me feel fabulous. This relationship is a five drain.
Mm-hmm.
And to recognize it, but to have the courage to actually address it and say, I'm sorry, that's just not quite working for me.
Mm-hmm.
That takes a lot of courage, and it's taken a lot of practice.
Oh, yeah. You know what I have found in my life is that when I felt uncomfortable about doing something, but yet I went along with that and did it anyway, it was like I gave my power away. And you know, I often gave it to God. You know, I kept, well, maybe God really wants me to do this, and And I should just go along with it. Every time I would end up giving my power away to something else other than listening to my inner guidance. And even to this day, I have to really double down and think about it. You know, wait a minute. I know definitely when I don't feel comfortable about something. I can feel it. And I still want to lunge out and say, well, maybe I'm supposed to do no, wait a minute, it just doesn't feel right. I have to keep on bringing myself back. So I know exactly what you're saying on that. And often, that's our, I think one of our biggest things is that we just don't trust our gut.
We don't, and I also believe that we're, I think in a way, society kind of trains us to be yes people.
Oh, yeah.
And I believe actually one of the greatest gifts is the word no thank you, in that it takes so much courage to be the one person who said, no thank you, I don't want any magazines from the magazine drive, when there's such pressure, at least, you know, in our environment here, there is such pressure to comply and to be number one at this and number two at that, and it's taken a lot of practice. I think I actually look at this still as a practice, and that I'm still refining it, when I can recognize that signal, honor it, and actually claim, no, I'm sorry, that's just not right. That takes it still takes a lot of courage. But the funny part is, on the backside of it, I've noticed every time I do it, strangely, I think I get a little bit, I notice that people respect me a little bit more, in that you very kindly, with a great deal of honor and grace, said no thank you. And oftentimes I've noticed people say, I wish I could do the same. I agreed to do it. I didn't want to do the silly Nightlights event, and I agreed to host it, and I suffered for 3 months, and I hated every minute of it, and you said no thank you. And you're off doing what you choose to do. So it's really funny. It's really funny how I think a lot of other people could practice it and gain a great deal from using the no thank you word a little bit more.
Oh, you're absolutely right. I think this is a good reminder to everybody. Now, you found yourself in a romance with an alcoholic. Why do you think that you attracted this person to you?
Well, I would have to say that pretty much I had a very strong rescuer pattern that was alive and well at the time that I was single. And I didn't know it at the time, but I literally envisioned myself in a nurse's uniform walking around looking for anyone that needed a good rescue. They would pretty much find me. And I found a world-class person who was looking for a huge rescue. This individual was very romantic and very sweet and had a heart that he wore on his sleeve. And that was the good part. That was the part that was very attractive. The part that is not so attractive but hooked in the rescuer is the part that is always finding horrible trouble, always creating chaos, always creating drama, and not using common sense rules. So I think this particular individual was an alcoholic and had the loving side, but also had a highly destructive side. Mm-hmm. And I was like it was magnetic attraction, and I jumped right in, full force, uniform and all, to try to save him. And it was quite the journey. It was very loving in many respects, and it was probably the most destructive thing I've ever done in my life. Because everything you can imagine you shouldn't participate in, he participated in and pulled me in too. So things I had never experienced, you know, trouble with the law, you know, going to jail, getting so sick that, you know, you can't function, and almost destroying all your bodily organs in the process, which is nothing that I would ever normally experience. I'm fortunately very healthy and try to have a very moderate, very use a lot of temperance in my life and do a lot of balanced things. I saw the scary side of life. And I think it just hooked me in. And, you know, for anyone who wants to seek approval from another person, I think CODA, which is the Codependence Anonymous, they would say that anyone who seeks approval from another person for what they think, feel, or do is considered codependent. And I was codependent on all levels. Yet on the other side, having gone through that experience, I can now see that it was a lesson that I absolutely had to have. It was perfect timing. It was the universe showing me what not to do ever again. And it also has raised my awareness as far as the danger signals and getting that radar detector. Now if I find an addictive personality, I meet them, speak with them, I can pretty much pick it up right away. I know some of the things that they go through. I know the tremendous difficulties they go through and they struggle, but I'm also keenly aware not to rescue. So it was my best education, it was my worst education, it was my greatest love, and it was my worst love. So it was pretty much, you know, heaven and hell all at the same time.
Wow. That was really well said. You know, it seems like had you not run into this person and it taught you such a valuable lesson, I don't know if you could have conveyed that part of your life so eloquently. In other words, you have to experience. And like you said, the universe is delivering you a lesson so that you can go out there and help other people to understand what's going on.
I believe it's one of my greatest lessons of my life, actually, is to recognize addiction on all levels. Recognize it, address it, and also the hardest lesson of all, not participate in it. To allow others to have their addictions and to have their, inability to control, whether it be a substance, whether it be a drug, whether it be food or whatever it might be, you can allow the other person to have the addiction, but now I don't have to buy into it. I don't have to feel the draw of it, and I don't have to participate in the pain of it. It's terribly, terribly painful to have those types of addictions in your life, and I'm very grateful that I don't. And I was able to also wrestle my own addiction, which was with food. I was a world-class eater, and I wanted and looked for food 24 hours a day. And I was lucky that I was able to go to a program called the Hoffman Institute. I'm not sure if you're familiar with it. I look at it as emotional rehab. You go for a week, and this organization is just fabulously skilled at helping you get rid of all the old messages that put you in that original formula of doing what you were supposed to do versus what you came here to do, which is to follow your passion. And they unleash all of these have-tos, and they put you back in a place where you can live from pure essence. And what they did, and one of the greatest gifts I had from Hoffman, is they unleashed my addiction to food, because I realized that this beautiful, fit person was the person I was meant to be, and the addiction to food was purely self-soothing. And once I actually realized that and was able to let go and find self soothing in other ways, I didn't have to use food to feel better. And the weight literally, it kind of fell off almost 6 months after I came back from that program. And I also got involved in much more activities. I did dance, and I started becoming an actor, and so I was getting happier on the inside. And food wasn't my trigger any longer. And it was pretty miraculous in that I was able to kind of put that addiction aside. Now, I might always kind of have it in the back of my head that, boy, I'd love to grab that cupcake, but I don't feel that it's a compulsion anymore. Mm-hmm. And so if I choose to have it, I have it in my own during the day when I can have it, and I work it off at night, and I've been very fortunate. I haven't gained any in the last 10 years. I've kept off about 45 pounds, and now I'm getting a little bit lower, so I'm going to say it's almost 50 pounds, and I haven't gained a pound back in 10 years.
Wow.
So, very lucky to have found my own kind of emotional release, and then I found my physical release, which is in exercise and yoga and getting more physically fit, and it's much more satisfying.
That's very, very interesting. I haven't heard of the Hoffman Institute, but it sounds fascinating. If anybody's interested, I'm sure they could do a fast search and get more information on the Hoffman Institute. You've mentioned something by Hermetic metaphysics. What what does that mean to you, pragmatic metaphysics?
Pragmatic metaphysics to me, I look at myself as a model of pragmatic metaphysics. It's pretty much where hippie meets yuppie, and I'm pretty much at the intersection. I have a business background, and I have a lot of skills in marketing and coaching businesses and how to be successful. And I have another completely different side, which is spirit. It's all about spirit. It's about law of attraction. It's about manifestation. It's about essence. And what I like to do is put the two together. So it's the ultimate hybrid of East meets West. And I consider myself also to be pretty much a metaphysical guinea pig. So I love to try on whatever different approach I can find that I haven't tried. I love to experiment within the framework of evaluating it. So I kind of put my little analytical hat on while putting on my spiritual hat, and I put the two together, and I experiment with all different types of techniques. For example, most recently I bought magnets. I wanted to see, because I sometimes have neck pain, so I want to see, will magnets help release neck pain, as well as physical therapy? Will doing something with the body through yoga work as well as acupuncture? Will a homeopathic remedy, one that I just recently found, which is the sea buckthorn oil, fix my nails? And so I love to experiment and find all the different either natural, homeopathic, or metaphysical techniques that bring actual results. And that's pretty much how I define pragmatic metaphysics. And I have a website called liveyoureverything.com. Mm-hmm. And I'm now starting, it's new, it's only been up for a few months, and I'm now putting all of my findings, all of my little experiments up on the web just to help people.
Oh, and brilliant. I love that.
Thank you. It's called, I have a little section called Purely the Best. And anything that I have found that really works, and I'm talking works from an analytical perspective, works from a financial perspective, works from a metaphysical perspective, I want to put it down in this section, and they're pure recommendations. And so, for example, if Hoffman Institute is on there, they just talk a little bit about that experience and how successful that was for me, a little bit about whether it be oils, whether it be music, whether it be a meditation. For example, recently I was just having trouble writing a proposal. I was just being a procrastinator and not motivated, and so I found this music, and I put this music on. It's 20 minutes. It's on YouTube, and it has that you can do it behind the music. So I put the music on. I'm walking around my room. I felt like I was the star of my own movie. I sat down. I wrote my whole proposal in about 30 minutes, and I turned the music off, and I walked out. And I thought, no, now that really works. That really works for me. So I want to put all these findings, all these kind of easy-to-use remedies and suggestions online for everybody so everyone can find some help.
That is great. I love that. Now let's go and start. I just adore this woman.
Yeah.
I love, and I use her book constantly, Heal Your Life. But the common question I get is, how do you know when to focus in on your emotions and when to turn to a physician? You know, how do you know when to go? Is it when it doesn't work, or do you wait? There's the big question.
Well, I think that's metaphysics. I think pragmatic metaphysics does very successfully blend East and West. And in our Western culture, in some cases, I truly believe medical, just common medical practices are very, very, very effective. One of the things that happened to me that I wrote about in the book is that I ended up with a shoulder tear, a rotator cuff tear. And I tried everything from a metaphysical perspective to heal it. I went to healers. I did like John of God. I did the crystal bath. I tried salt rooms. I tried acupuncture. I tried everything you can think of. I have a salve with comfrey root, and I would put pads on, and I'd soak it, and I'd stick it to my shoulder, and I'd sleep on it overnight. And then everything you can think of. And the bottom line is that was a rip, and it needed to be repaired. And so I decided that it was time to actually get some modern medicine. I went in and I had some surgery, and it was a long journey to recover, but the surgery helped. 18 months of physical therapy, and this is ongoing physical therapy. I had to commit to it. And then in addition to that, I use all the other techniques still. Mm-hmm. So in rehabilitating our body, I think in some cases the metaphysical part is fabulous, but in some cases I think we have to really ask the body. Sometimes the body needs some help. And so I blend the two. I do a very common sense blend of practical medicine. I use a lot of physical therapy. I found it to be the most positive thing that I've ever done in my life, because it's a little bit like having a private trainer.
Mm-hmm.
And it's part of your medical plan. And it's very successful. And repetition is what the body responds to. So with the repetition, with the practice, and a very simple technique, my one physical therapist told me, when the commercial comes on during any television program, this is what I want you to do. So now, whenever the commercials come on, you'll see me with my pulleys. I do my weights. I'll do for my arm weights. I do 20 pulleys, and then she'll say, next commercial, I want you on the floor, and you're doing your push-ups. So I'll do my little push-ups. It makes the time go faster. You know, as long as you don't fast forward through the commercials, I guess. But it gives you also, you know, it gives you the time to get your little exercise in, yet you're still enjoying your program. And so to use very simple, very easy ways to keep your body strong and healthy on the practical side. And then there's also fabulous healers. I know fabulous healers who can do amazing work.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I found out, and not too long ago, it was a couple of months ago, I pulled my back out of whack, and I knew emotionally what was going on with me, because I gave my power away to another person, and it was like it was saying to me, okay, they're really a pain in the arse, let's say. And so I, as much as I tried to work on getting rid of that, I couldn't unless I went to a chiropractor. And within days after going to a chiropractor, I didn't have to go back to a chiropractor, because I was already in sync that I could release all of that I had put onto my body. But yes, I did need medical assistance, that what I had done to my back, which was a clear clue as to what was going on, I was allowing to go on in my life. In reality, I had to take charge of it and go get some action on my body. And that was a huge, huge reminder that stinking thinking that you were talking about can lead to a lot of pain in the physical realm.
And the first thing, if someone said to me, my back went out, the first question I always ask, and this is, I actually use this with my kids, I'll say, do you feel a lack of support? Because as Louise would say, anything involving the back is lack of support. And so I do exactly what you just did. I ask myself, what is the emotional issue tied to it? And, of course, it usually jumps to mind so quickly. You can say, I know what it is. This person didn't help me, or I had to do both Thanksgiving and Christmas, and that was hard. And then if I find that doesn't resolve itself over a reasonable period of time, I, too, turn to medicine. But if I could throw something out, also, sometimes I try to use physical medicine for too long.
Ooh.
So I was going to a chiropractor for my neck way too often.
Mm.
And I had the wake-up call. I said, okay, Diane, you know, you can't see a chiropractor twice a week forever. This is not fixing anything. It's just literally getting you through a couple of days. So then I used the opposite approach. And I said, okay, I think I need to pursue a healer. Maybe there's someone who can help me with the core issue. Maybe it's something, you know, in this lifetime about, you know, moving forward or being understood or communicating, throat chakra, whatever it might be. Maybe there's a bigger issue. So I use it both ways. If Western doesn't work after a while, I look to the East. And if the Eastern doesn't work after a certain amount of time, I look to the west. So I try to stay really in tune with both.
Yeah, the bottom line is you're the one that's taking charge of your own healing. And that's the most important message out of everything. It's not depending on one source. If it doesn't work, you're recognizing that you're going to move forward. It's you. And that's the most important lesson that everybody needs to understand. The healing depends on the person who's experiencing it.
Couldn't agree with you more. That was beautiful.
Let's talk about these manifestation exercises that you alluded to in your book.
Well, I have a lot of practices when it comes to manifestation, and this, of course, is the perfect time of the year to create what I call my I want list. In fact, I just created mine. I look at mine from the year before. I try to keep in touch with it a little bit, see what I put down from last year. And this was one of the first years in that I looked at my list from 2013, and I realized I had accomplished 90% of everything I put on the list. And that
Wow.
was absolutely huge for me, because these were big goals, very, very big goals. And now is my time to create for 14, so I'll give you a little bit of example of how I put that together.
Okay.
I always start with, I want to create effortlessly, because I don't know about you, but I'm a very hard worker, and sometimes I think I put a little bit too much will into it, too much energy, too much effort, and I'm working right now. I'm partnering a little bit more with the universe to make things more of a downstream approach.
Oh, that's a great idea. That's beautiful. I love it. I love it. I'm going to start using that.
Right, because usually I'm climbing up, I'm trudging up the hill with the backpack, and everybody's sitting on my cape as I'm pulling them up the hill with me. So I'm trying to go down the hill and float down the hill a little bit more. So that's one of my current practices. But so I say I want to create effortlessly. And then what I do is I try to give myself no more than 5 major accomplishments, just because that's usually a lot to do. So for example, one of the areas that I've wanted to do before this was published is I wanted to create Author Diane. And in truth, that didn't exist at all. It didn't exist anywhere in the world. It was just all in my head. So I gave myself very specific goals about finishing the book, about finding a publisher, which was incredibly challenging, about getting it published, about getting the cover designed and launched, all of which are very, very, very big goals. It takes a lot of work if you've ever gone down this road, and a lot of energy and effort to get it accomplished. And I would put that down and be very, very specific about what it meant to me when that goal was accomplished. So I put all those down, and I always leave, and this is the Western side, the practical side, I always make sure I know what that one goal is that lets me know I accomplished my job. So, for example, I always have a number in my head as to how much money I want to have in the bank by December. And I write that specific number down, and I swear, Jules, every year I've hit that number to the penny.
Wow.
To the penny. And I will say, and whether a big check comes in at the end or a big check goes out, so if I set a low goal and I'm a little bit over, strangely I'll have a big bill to pay, or I know it's really funny. I've had, oh, you forgot to pay that part of the medical bill. Okay, there we go there. Or I'll say, I have to make this amount, and all of a sudden a client will either prepay or there'll be more money coming in, and I will almost always hit my financial goal to the money. So I'm very good at certain aspects of this. And then I write down what it is specifically that I'm trying to accomplish, trying to keep it at about four or five key things so that it doesn't get overwhelming. And then the last one on my list is kind of a hope for. I try to make sure I know that there's a lot of slush room in this, in that if I say, when it came to the acting area, I wanted to make it into movies, and I hadn't been ever in a film. So I put down, I'd like to be in one supporting role. It is a movie that would have this kind of aspect to it. This is what I would love to do, and it would be perfect for updating my reel. And then I just type up my little list. I put mine on my computer screen because I can see it every day. I don't stare at it. I don't like drill into it. I just kind of very much have it in my passive view.
Uh-huh.
And I kind of check it out either when I'm talking on the phone or if I'm just not paying much attention. And I keep it very much there, but I don't get hung up on it. And I kind of touch base with it periodically. Sometimes I update it in the middle of the year. And it is one of the best tools I've ever found for helping me get exactly what I want and also keep on focus. And so it's a little bit, again, of that east and west. It's the manifestation side of me creating all this on my own behalf. Everything's at my own hand. And then the other side, which is very practically, what does that mean to you? How do you know when you get there? Mm-hmm. What does it mean? You have to have 5 publishers, you have 1 publisher, you have to do it by a certain date, et cetera. So that's one of the tools I use. It's called the I Want List, and it's one of my best techniques so far.
Yeah, I love that. I love the fact that you are always focused in what you want as the outcome. That's huge, and that's often what we forget about. We want and we're visualizing us having it, but we're really not seeing beyond the point of what we want because of it. And that's really huge. You've got it. You nailed it.
Well, what's funny is some people, when I work with them as clients, they'll say, I just want to be happy.
Yeah.
And I'll say, that's great. I'm with you. Everybody wants to be happy. But the universe can't give you happy. You know, they don't know what to do with that. They can say, okay, you know, they've got 50% of this formula, you've got 50% of your energy, effort, and enthusiasm, and they've got the other 50% of providing you with exactly what you asked. But you have to be clear with them. What does happy mean? Does it mean you have a yacht, you know, parked over here in Lake Michigan? Does it mean that you have a new home? Does it mean that you pursue running because you've never done it before? Does it mean you become an actor or that you want to plant a garden? You have to be clear, I think, not only with ourselves, but with the universe, with the God force that allows them to also meet you halfway. And so I try to help people be very specific, very clear about those definitions, because I also found myself, the clearer I am, the quicker it comes in.
Oh, yeah, that is great. That is very good. I want to give everybody your website again, which is liveyoureverything.com. It's a great site. It tells all about Diane.
Music, meditations. We have referrals and recommendations. Also have interviews from individuals, very interesting, and stories of inspiration from regular people who have made tremendous change. One person, for example, left corporate life and has started a coaching business, which has taken off like gangbusters. Mm-hmm. And another person had a position as a lawyer in the state's attorney's office and was miserable and dropped everything to start a creative career with Christie's, and now is an antique specialist. So just people who found passion and purpose and corrected their course.
Well, this is wonderful. Okay, I want to remind everybody, The Real Brass Ring. It's by Turning Stone Press, and you can get it in Amazon and all bookstores. Go there and grab it. And I think everybody is going to have a lot of aha moments. She's got practical, wonderful, inspiring advice for us all. And check out her website, too, liveyoureverything.com. Thank you, Diane, for coming on and sharing so much information with us. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Jules. It's my pleasure.
I hope you'll come back on.
Oh, I would love to. Thank you so much.
Okay, and are you planning on writing another book?
I am. I'm starting the second book. It's going to be a how-to book on how to apply a 5-point formula to accomplish whatever you want.
Ooh.
So a manifestation book that's kind of a follow-up from The Real Brass Ring on all of the formulas I found that lead towards personal empowerment and personal success.
Wonderful, wonderful. We're going to be looking for that. Keep me posted on that, please, my dear.
I will. Thank you so much. I'm so honored to be able to talk to you.
Well, I'm honored that you came on the show. So that's it for this week. We'll be back next week with another great show, and I believe Mr. William Whitecloud is going to be here divulging some more magical living with us all. Have a great week. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much for joining us. We'll be back next week with another great show from Law of Attraction Talk Radio. If you'd like to comment on tonight's show, send an email to Jules@LOARadionetwork.com, and have a great week.